Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Avodah Zarah Ayin Hey, Avodah Zarah 75B, pagination is 150. Starting from about a fifth of the way down, Masnisin, the new Mishnah, dealing with Hechsher and Tevilas Kelim, kashering food utensils and toveling them in a mikvah as well. Now, the terminology alone is a worthwhile pursuit because it sets the foundation for all the understanding of this topic. Hechsher is the Hebrew for kosherizing the item, and if the item was used with non-kosher, it has to be kosherized because we understand that some of the taste goes into the vessel, and the vessel gets a certain quality associated with it, which is going to get emitted the next time it's used. So even in the kosher kitchen, for example, we have dairy utensils and meat utensils, and we would not take a meat utensil and put it into a dairy dish. Now, the classic case where the taste would be imparted from the utensil to the food would be if things are hot. That's the typical case that we deal with. And in fact, if something was used with heat, it's going to have to get a higher level of kosherization than if it was used with a not hot, etc. Making it kosher is basically more of a wash if it was used cold in typical cases, whereas if it was used hot, it's going to require a heat kosherization. Now, there are two basic heat kosherizations which exist. One is called hag'ala, which is purging it in hot boiling water. And the other is libun, which is exposure to a hot flame. Nowadays, we might do that using a blowtorch. Some people, if it gets difficult on certain items, might put it into an oven at high heat, perhaps in the self-clean mode, if that won't ruin the utensil. There are different things. Baking sheets, for example, might be kosherized in that intense way if they're of decent quality and can stand up to the heat. But there are those two basic categories of koshering. How do you know which one to use? If the item was used with a significant amount of liquid, like meatballs cooking in sauce or soup, then the hot water method is the correct method of kosherizing it. If the typical way to use this item is with very limited liquid, such as a frying pan, and you fry hamburgers in it, or you fry eggs, matzah brie, whatever it may be, even if there's a little bit of coating of oil just that it doesn't stick, but it's not immersed in liquid, it's basically a frying pan, it's being used dry, that's considered usage on the open flame, and it requires open flame type of koshering, which is a more intense type of heat. Just boiling some water doesn't work. There are, of course, exceptions, but these are the basic sweeping rules. In addition to kosherizing it from the non-kosher usage and whatever taste exists in the utensil and would be imparted in its next use, in addition to that, there's also something called tevila, which is immersing the item in a mikvah. That means 40 sa'a of water. The quick number is 200 gallons of water. In practical terms, that's the number that's typically quoted. and it has to be immersed in a mikveh which was made in a kosher way and has no leaks, natural rainwater, and that elevates it for the kosher kitchen. If a person purchases a new item from the store, so it was never used, so it doesn't have to be kosherized, but it will have to be immersed in a mikveh because its previous ownership was not Jewish, and now it's being used Jewish. It has to go to a mikveh to elevate it. Interesting curveball. Sometimes certain appliances were the sample, and they were used, or they were tested, and they were used with non-kosher, if that's true. Obviously, we have to deal with the kosherization. Sometimes you buy an item from a store, and it would not need tevila in a mikveh, because the store is owned by a Jew. And if the item was owned Jewish from the time that it was manufactured throughout, then it would not require tevila. So you have some considerations to pay attention to in some of the more unusual cases. For the most part, it should be very apparent. The Jewish-owned stores are reasonably well-known. The fact that an item is new should be fairly apparent. Masnisin, the Mishnah tells us, Halokeach kli tashmish min ha'ovdei kochavim, a person purchases a utensil from a non-Jew, a garage sale, for example, eshedarko lahatvil yatvil. If all that has to be done is that it's taken to the mikvah, so be it. These are items that are used cold, and they're not used hot. There's no taste in there. There are cases where something is used for very long periods of storage, in which case it might require some level of kosherization. But your typical case, it could be that all that needs to be done is that it be taken to the mikveh. Lahagil yagil. But the most common case is that it has to be kashered either by purging, because it was used with liquids, or lelavnein ba'or, yelavein ba'or. If it's used as a spit, as a grill pan, as a spatula in a frying pan, these are all going to require kosherization of open heat, because there's no water medium in there in the way it's used. And indeed, many items cannot be kosherized. If you have a plastic spatula, which people may really like because they're great to use on nonstick surfaces, etc., but that plastic spatula used with a frying pan would have to be kosherized by open flame. That would ruin it, and therefore it simply cannot be kashered. And we would pay attention to what type of item it is and how is it used. Let's skip a line to the Gemara. Tana v'kulan tzrichen tevila be'arbaim sa. And all items are going to require tevila in the 40 sa'ah mikvah, meaning the Mishnah started off by telling us items that only need tevila, so just tovel them. Items that need kashering by hagala, the hot water, or liban, the open flame, you should do that, says the Gemara. Those items that are kosherized in the more intense way also require elevation for the kosher kitchen, and they do require immersing them in a mikvah. Continuing in the Gemara, skipping about 12 lines, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Ravua, afilu kelim chadoshim b'mashma. Certainly even new items that are bought from a non-Jew are going to require immersing them in mikvah. D'ha yishana v'livnan kachadoshim domo, because when you have something that's been used and now you purge it, you put it to the open flame, you put charcoal all over it and light it up with intense heat, that's considered anew. Va'afilu hachi bayit vila, and they nevertheless need immersing in the mikvah, and that's the same thing we're taught regarding an item that's totally new. Maskefla Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes asked, Ihochi, if it's true that immersing in the mikvah has nothing to do with whether or not it absorbed non-kosher material, food, Afilu Zuza Desarva Lanami, even a scissors that's going to be used in the house to cut fabric, should also require tevila. It has nothing to do with food. Amale, they answered, Kalei Suda Amurim Beparsha. The discussion of mikvah is only by food utensils. But if you have a utensil being used elsewhere in the Jewish home, that does not require tevilah. Indeed, a food utensil, even if it has no non-kosher absorption, still requires tevilah. But an item that has nothing to do with food preparation is not going to require tevilah. It is interesting that the Gemara cites the example, the way the question was posed, of a scissors. There could be cases where a scissors is used in the kitchen. Indeed, there are people that use a scissors when preparing a turkey. You could use a scissors in cutting ices in different applications. It could be that a scissors is a food utensil. If it is, it would require tevila. But it was illustrative of the typical case where scissors are used for other things and would not require tevila. The law of tevila, immersing in mikvah, is only if you bought it, but if you borrowed it and it's owned by a non-Jew, then this law does not apply. This has become more relevant nowadays with electrical appliances that would get ruined if they were immersed. So the original electrical appliances we immersed and dried out, then things worked. A typical old-fashioned toaster, for example, if it was dried out properly for 3 solid days, as the expression went, it would dry out, and then plugging it in wouldn't have any more moisture in the system, and it would not cause a problem. The more contemporary electrical items have computers built in, etc., and sometimes it would be very risky to immerse them. There are different solutions of how to use such an item. One of them is to sell the item to a non-Jew and then borrow it from them. And if it was sold properly with the right kinyanim to the non-Jew, so that it's indeed the non-Jews, then a borrowed item from a non-Jew does not require tevilah, and that would be a solution that's recommended in certain circumstances. We'll stop there. There's plenty more on the topic. Yashar Koach for joining.